And whether you are at Moss Road or Zor Road Live or live stream, I'm really glad that you have tuned in, dialed in, connected with us at Good Shepherd. I'm Talbot Davis, and I'm the pastor here. And as you just saw in the video, this is the first Sunday of a brand new series, all called Honest to God. 3 weeks of digging deep into what it means to be people who pray, how can we be honest in our prayers. And as you'll hear in just a little bit, we have a prayer guide that goes along with it, and it is also eco-friendly and COVID safe, and I'll give you some instructions about that later during our time together. But today's message in the Honest to God series, today's message is called Honest at God. And if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to locate in your Bible Psalm number 88, Psalm 88. And when you find that in your Bible or you scroll to it, if your Bible's on your phone, just keep it there. We'll take a closer look at that in just a little bit, but Psalm 88. And we love it when you find it and when you're able to look at it during the message, because a couple of the things that we believe about the Bible at this church is one of those things that we believe about the Bible is that although this looks like a book, not a book. It's a library, a collection of a lot of books written by a great many authors over a long span of time, and get this, in multiple writing styles. And when we're in the book of Psalms today, we are quite literally in the songbook section of the library, because any library has to have a music section, a songbook section. And what the Psalms are is the songbook of ancient Israel. So we'll be looking at a song, and when we look at it, you'll be like, well, how do they put this to music? I don't know. But it's a song sung in ancient Israel probably about 3,000 years ago, about 1,000 years before Jesus appeared on earth. And again, that's just a fact. You may not know it. You may not have heard it ever before. If you've been coming to Good Shepherd for a while, you've heard it. But it is a fact. The other thing that we believe about the Bible moves into deeply held conviction, and it's this. That in leadership here, and when I say what I'm going to say, you may be like, yes, thank you for believing that. Or you may be like, I'm not sure. Or let me still weigh the evidence. Wherever you are is okay. We just like to be honest with the kind of church we are. In leadership here, we believe there's no other library like this one on earth. That God breathed his life into its words. He put his truth onto its pages. The Bible is inspired and eternal and true. Because we believe that at this church, when we talk about the Bible together, we do an odd thing, whether you're live or live streaming, we do this kind of odd thing. We lift it up. And if you've not been at a Good Shepherd worship experience before, and you're looking around and you're like, this is just kind of a little bit strange with everybody lifting up their Bibles or their phones. And you know how we answer that? Yes, we admit it. It's unusual. But it's a moment of oddity that shapes our identity as a community, from the youngest to the oldest. We are a collection of people joyfully surrendered to the authority of the Word and eager for its power to be let loose in our lives. Amen? And before I say another word based on the Word, let's pray. So, Father, thank you for, again, how good you are, and thank you for breathing life and truth into the Scripture, and thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to work through all the biblical authors' lives so they could write these words. And I ask that the same Holy Spirit in these moments and for this message that I'm so eager to give, that the same Holy Spirit would fill me from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head and give me a fresh pouring out of everything that's good and joyful and real and true about what it means to have a living relationship with Jesus. Because, Lord, I really am powerless without you. But because of you, I'm never helpless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this message is going to begin a little bit differently than most of them do. I want to read a section of Psalm 88 for you. So we're not going to read it together. I'm just going to read it out loud and you follow along. And if you're like, oh my gosh, how can I do it? I didn't bring my Bible. I don't have a phone. It's not loaded on my phone. It's okay. It's going to be up on the screen, and if you're live streaming, it will be right there on your screen there as well. But Psalm 88, verses 10 through 18. And y'all follow along as I read it out loud. And remember, this is someone singing to God, praying to God, and here's what he says. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor, and darkness is my closest friend. Well, that was a real pick-me-up, wasn't it? In all my times as a pastor, I have never, not once, not a single time, received an encouragement note from someone like you to which Hallmark had affixed Psalm 88, verse 14. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? I've never, not once, seen a Christian t-shirt with Psalm 88, 16 on it. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. Not once, not ever. And moms and dads and grandmoms and granddads, your children, your grandchildren, when we have live children's ministry, when that resumes back in the past and in the future, we have never, not once, not a single time, gathered the little children together around and said, kids, we want to teach you all about Psalm 88, verse 18. You have taken from me friend and neighbor, and darkness is my closest friend. Nope. We've never done that a single time. There is, and do you know why that t-shirt makers don't t-shirt make this? Why bumper sticker machines don't bumper sticker machine it? Do you know why children's ministries don't focus on Psalm 18? Do you know why? Do you know why most of you didn't even know this was in the Bible, and now that you do, you kind of wish it wasn't? You know why? Because we like happy endings, don't we? I mean, come on. Would Dirty Dancing have been anything as a movie if Patrick Swayze didn't end it by saying, nobody puts baby in the corner? Would you like The Lion King if Scar kept the kingdom and not Simba? We like happy endings. We live for happy endings. Even the Bible itself has a happy ending, because the book of Revelation at the end of the biblical library, it pictures the victory of the Lamb and not his defeat. And yet in Psalm 88, we who like happy endings, we're confronted with an ending that is so unhappy, it inspired Simon and Garfunkel. Hello, hello darkness, my old friend. That is, you're welcome. That is where that song comes from. It is so unhappy. It is an unhappy psalm with the unhappiest ending of them all. And here's what's even more. When we look at Psalm 88 with all the destruction that it envisions and all the sadness that it conveys, we are not looking at a psalm where God doesn't help with problems. That's not the issue, that God's not helping with the problems. It's worse than that. We're looking at a psalm in which God is the problem. If you doubt me, Look again at verse 14 and verse 16 and verse 18. Look at all the yous. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? Verse 16. Your wrath has swept over me and your terrors have destroyed me. And then verse 18. You've taken from me friend and neighbor, and darkness is my closest friend. Yeah. This songwriter is in a pickle, and it is very much his understanding that God is the one who has done it. So we're not just looking at a problem, at a psalm where God doesn't help out. We're looking at something much more serious with even greater gravity, that it is a psalm in which God is the problem. Aren't you glad you came to church today? You're like, I didn't know this was in the Bible, and I could have really, all things being equal, Talbot, I could have continued the rest of my life not knowing this was in the Bible. But you know what? If I'd let you do that, you would have missed out on the incredible treasures that this psalm actually represents. Because what do we do with this? As we start this series, Honest to God, a series where we're going to have 3 weeks of really digging in what it means to have an honest prayer life with God. What do we do with this unhappiest ending in all of Scripture? And what do we do with the fact that it actually made it into the Bible? Have you thought about that? What was going through the minds of those ancient rabbis and those ancient pastors who we believe the Holy Spirit was working with them and guiding them, but they were the ones deciding what books were in and what books were out, even what psalms within the psalms, what psalms were considered scripture and what psalms were not considered scripture. And for whatever reason, the rabbis, the ancient rabbis and the ancient pastors, they were like Psalm 88, in spite of the fact that it has no happy ending, it is good to go, let's put it in. A psalm with such desolation, and God is the desolator. Unless maybe instead of being such a problem, Psalm 88 is actually genius. Maybe instead of wondering, why, Lord, did you let these kind of words in our holy book? Why, Lord, not a book, it's a library, Talbot. Why do you let it in? And instead of wondering that, maybe we can be filled with this incredible wonder and gratitude. Oh my gosh, what a moment of genius that the psalm with the unhappiest ending of them all made it in. And you know why? It's probably a moment of incredible genius, because who here has had a life of uninterrupted happy endings? Who here, from your moment of birth to today, your life has been one happy ending after another, like no one? The marriage still crashed. The parent still died. The job still got furloughed. The virus still persisted. The election didn't go your way. The illness didn't heal. And so for you and for me and those seasons of life where we go through, when we're living in the middle of our own very unhappy ending, oh my gosh, what a treasure, what a gift Psalm 88 is to us. Because think about it. Think about what this psalm and its inclusion in the Bible, think about what it tells us about God. I mean, because what did we do just a couple of minutes ago in this church? And what is the leadership of the church affirm? And I assume that a good chunk, not 100%, but a good chunk of the followership of the church affirms too. We lift the Bible up. And we lift the Bible up because we really do believe God breathed life into its words and he put his truth onto its pages. It really is inspired. Well, if we really believe that, if we're a Bible-lifting church and not a Bible-scoffing church, what does this tell us about God that he inspired words that question his job performance? God inspired these words that in so many words say, God, you might be God, but you are doing a really bad job of it. What does that tell us about God? Our God is so emotionally secure. Now, the author of Psalm 88, probably not emotionally stable, but our God is emotionally secure. He's not needy. He's not codependent. Our God is an emotionally healthy God who can breathe life into words that question his own job performance. And beyond that, what is this psalm, what does it tell us about the people making those decisions, as I alluded to earlier, in the process of how the Bible came to be the Bible? I don't know if you know this or not. It did not plop down from heaven in between two leather covers. That's not how it came to be. But the Old Testament, there were rabbis making decisions about the books that got in and the books that were left out. The New Testament, the New Testament pastors and apostles, they affirmed the Old Testament, and then they added, and we believe the Holy Spirit was guiding them through all this, and they decided what New Testament books were in and what books from the era of the New Testament didn't make it. They made all those decisions. And what does it tell us about those men? And they were primarily, probably exclusively men in those days. What does it tell us about them that they included Psalm 88 in the Bible? They knew. They knew that people encountering the Scripture would be the kind of people who, because of the disappointments they faced, and because of the trauma they endured, and because of the grief they were going through, those kind of people, our kind of people, because they preserved it for us and now present it to us, they knew that our kind of people, people like you and me going through a rough patch, that we would need permission to vent. That our natural inclination when it comes to God would be to keep our masks on, hello mask, to keep our masks on, to make it tame. And they knew that if you really wanted to be honest with God, you had to take your mask off to make your prayers real. That you can't really be honest to God unless you're honest at God. And in the middle of all that, there's one other verse in Psalm 88 that I've kind of slyly kept in my hip pocket for you. But look how the psalm begins. Verse 1, Psalm 88, it says this, Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. Oh my gosh. So the psalm writer, the same one who's so mad at God, who says, you're a bad God, you're not doing a good job. Hello, darkness, my old friend. That same author says, Lord, you're the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. He has this understanding that just because he's getting mad at God doesn't mean that God is going to leave him. He is convinced that as he lashes out at God, God's there to be lashed out at. And so here's what I want you to know. Here's why Psalm 88, these words, you didn't know they were in there and you kind of wish they weren't. Here's why I want you to be so joyful that they really are. It's this, you're venting doesn't mean he's leaving. Psalm 88, and it's just the most vivid of several psalms that gives all kind of permission to you and all kind of permission to me to vent our frustration to God when the marriage ends, when the loved one dies, when the job vanishes, when the virus still spreads. To vent our frustration at God with the assurance that God can take it. God can handle it. In fact, anger at God, that's not the enemy of faith. Pretending with God, that's the enemy of faith. That's what God wants to make sure we don't fall victim to. Your venting doesn't mean He's leaving. These people who decided what's in the scripture, think of all they didn't do with Psalm 88. They didn't edit it. They didn't delete it. They didn't sanitize it. They didn't say, oh, no, our people can't handle talking to God like that. No, they included it because they knew that for you and for me, there would be times when we had to talk to God like that. That we can't be honest to God unless we're honest at Him. Your venting doesn't mean He's leaving. Maybe it's a little bit like the little boy who in his nighttime prayers, towards the end of his nighttime praying, and his parents are there, as I hope you all are doing with your own children, and his parents are there, and towards the end he says, "And now, Lord, let me tell you some things I'm not thankful for." You could probably fill that prayer up too. Or it's like C.S. Lewis said, who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I love this. He said, we must lay before Him, God, what's really in us, not what ought to be in us. See, prayer isn't about keeping that mask on to make it tame, about taking the mask off to make it real. Your venting doesn't mean He's leaving, because here's something you may not have thought of. You ready to have your mind blown? Please nod. I can see you nodding there on live stream. You ready? God knows it already. He's never once, not a single time, when someone got mad at Him was like, whoa, I didn't know that. I had no idea you were so frustrated with me. Tell me more. No, God knows it already. He knows what's in your heart and what kind of emotions you are experiencing. And in so many ways, God is likely just waiting for you to be as honest with Him as He is with you. Your venting will not result in His leaving. Now, before I go on, hold on for just a minute. This whole dilemma of Psalm 88 brings up such a delicate question about inspiration. The kind of words that are actually in the Bible, inspired, eternal, and true. Because I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but in the word that is inspired and eternal and true, there are many occasions when people utter words that are false. Like Cain, when he asked God, well, am I my brother's keeper? Without adding, but I might be his murderer. You know, he's lying. Or Pharaoh, when he said, ah, yeah, y'all can go, I just want to let you go, and then doesn't let him go, he's lying. Or in the book of Acts, chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira say to the church, yeah, we're not holding anything back, you can have it all, church, zap. They're lying. So in the epic story of Scripture, there are people who utter untruths. And so it just makes me wonder, is the anonymous author, the songwriter of Psalm 88, who blames God for so many things, is he accurate or not? Is he so troubled by life that he has become unhinged in life? And all those things he blames God for, I mean, look, your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. My life's a mess, and you've done it. All those accusations to God. Does God allow them in Scripture and allow this man to utter them in Scripture, even though they're not true, but because they might be what we feel? I don't know. I got to raise the question. Really, is this songwriter doing with God what a lot of people do with Satan? And you know what people do with Satan is they find themselves in a mess. Well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You got there all by your lonesome. I say that in particular in this case because of the last line in the Psalm, verse 18. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. You've done it. And I just raise that question because I know plenty of people who find themselves in a place of isolation, find themselves in a place with a whole bunch of broken relationships in their past, and they blame everyone else for all those broken relationships except for the three fingers pointing back at themselves. And I just wonder, is that what this author's doing? I don't know. I just need to raise the possibility in case. You're one of those folks who blames God or blames Satan for stuff you find yourself right in the middle of. Did God allow a man to speak untruths just because it would confirm some of our emotions? It's all just such an interesting question, but what remains beyond dispute is that it made it. That Psalm 88 made it in Scripture, Psalm 88, with all of its accusations. It passed the worthy of Scripture test. And it did so, again, because I believe that God knew and God knows that those of you going through grief and those of you who've experienced in trauma and those of you going through difficulty, you need that permission. You need that freedom. You need to be able to say to all those people who will tell you, well, you can't question the Lord. You need to be able to say to them back, well, tell that to all those people whose questions made it into the Bible. And you need to be able to have the honesty and have the freedom when you are frustrated with God, when you are frustrated with life. God would so much prefer your honesty to your fakery. God knows that shaking a fist at God is just a prelude to lifting a hand to Him. That you can't be honest in praise unless you're also honest in your lament. And you know how I know that this isn't at the margins of the faith. This is at the very center of the faith. What do we call the ancient people, the chosen people, the Jews, this is not a trick question. What's the name of the modern nation for them in the Middle East? It is, and live streamers as well. It's Israel. Do you know what Israel means? It means one who wrestles with God. Oh, so the chosen people their name doesn't come from one who has it easy with God? Nope. One who always has the favor of God? Nope. One who wrestles with God in authenticity and honesty. And in that wrestling, sometimes emerges from the wrestling like Jacob does with a permanent limp. But even that pain is always worth it for the enduring relationship. You're venting. Doesn't mean he's leaving. And we want to help you do that. Throughout this series, we want to help you do that. We have put together an honest to God prayer guide. And in fact, it's a PDF. And there's a different way that we are going to help you pray every week during the series. Next week, starting Sunday the 22nd, it'll all be prayers for our partners in India and the persecuted church. But this week, there's a prayer prompt every day this week on that PDF. And we're not writing prayers for you, because we understand that a lot of you, and this is totally how it works with me, a lot of you pray best by writing. And any time I feel guilty I actually pray better when I write my prayers, and I feel, well, that's kind of like there's 150 of them right in the middle of the Bible. It's probably okay. And so we wanted to give you the space to write, and yes, even the space to vent this week. So we want you to go, and you can download that PDF, you can print it out, or you can use it digitally. However you use it, we want to that the people of Good Shepherd growing in their honesty to God all week long throughout this entire series. And it begins by being honest at Him, knowing that your venting doesn't mean He's leaving. Because who else? Who else you know about asked questions of God that didn't get answered? Who else that you know about was abandoned by the very people he had surrounded himself with? Who else? Who else felt the wrath of God, the terror of God coming all upon him at once? Who else had darkness greet him, even at high noon? Yeah, Jesus. Only Jesus. Jesus is the one who inspired Psalm 88 because Jesus is the one who lived Psalm 88. Won't you be that real? And won't you be that saved with your Savior even now? You're venting to him will never lead to him leaving out on you, but instead leaning in to you. Let's pray. So God, thank you for what you endured on our behalf. Father, I pray for every person here who really has had pent-up frustration with you and did not know until today that they were free to vent it. And I ask that as you give them that permission to emote, you would send your unparalleled comfort and peace and strength. Thank you that we don't have to sanitize our prayers to you, that you want a relationship with us, a living relationship with us that is real and raw and forever. And I pray all of these things in the name of Jesus and for the sake of Jesus and through the power of Jesus. Amen.